Morning, folks, and welcome back. Thanks for joining the, call it almost a potpourri class, a little bit of everything. Is that okay, Mary? Is that bad? It's a sweet-smelling class. Isn't that what potpourri is? Yeah, ish. All right, well, I'll stop talking about potpourri. And, how do you guys pronounce that in America? Potpourri or something? Wow, it's like the one French pronunciation you actually preserve. Anyways, sorry, I'm getting critical. I better watch this, so... like niche. Anyways, let's not go there. Today, I want to do two things today. My main goal for today was to take one of the classes or the conference sessions from the CCEF counseling thing that we live streamed last week and spend some time going over that and just giving you some of the highlights, really. But I also wanted to, before that, see if there's any follow-up on the discussion about the diaconate and just get some input. We didn't have a lot of time for that last week. I think between Ed and I, we barely got through what we needed to say. So that's where I really like to start, just to see if there's any feedback on that. And if not, then we'll move into the discussing emotions again. You remember we talked once upon a time about emotions in worship, and this conference in some ways paralleled that. There's some really interesting parallels, at least in my opinion. But let me pray, and then we'll see if there's something to talk about the diaconate. Let's pray. Father, thank you for a new morning. We marvel that each day begins with your mercy, which is new every morning, because your faithfulness is so great. It is unchanging toward those who trust in you. We ask you that you'd give us a taste of that, that you would splash over tastes of heaven, joy, peace, patience, a Godward view and enjoyment of who you are today, that today in a special way we would have our lives reoriented, our hearts warmed, and our ambitions are reset to run for your glory. Would you bless our class too? Would you give us insight as we talk a little bit about the diaconate and what we hope to see you do with it? We entrust our deacons to your care. We pray that you'd give us skills. We seek to move forward to do that wisely and well, that we could champion as a church your mercy and compassion very well, that we might even have a reputation of that. We ask you as well for this class as we talk about the emotions and what they are and what we're supposed to do with them. Would you pique our thinking? Would you poke our thinking? Would you provoke us to wrestle more, engage more with how we feel, which sounds so weird to ask, but you call us to that. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so last week, if you remember, I spent a little bit of time sort of painting the foundation of the diaconate, the Old Testament roots, the New Testament roots, really behind all of the diaconate, which remember the base word is servant. Behind that is the compassion of God himself, as we see it particularly manifested in Christ. Christ didn't just come to preach and to teach. He came to heal. He came to minister to the poor and to the needy. The scripture has a particular emphasis on those who are down and out. That the widows, the orphans, those in distress. So we talked a little bit about that, and then Ed spelled out a little bit where the diaconate has been or where they are. Not in a great place. They're not sure why things aren't working. Part of it is perhaps burnout. Part of it is just trying to set a new direction, but getting into that direction is difficult. It's not that they have no idea where to go. It's more the ability to change our thinking, their thinking, and begin to do that. I think the gist of that is to transfer from being seen as those who hold the money and distribute money to those who, I guess, champion mercy, but also walk with people, help develop people from where they are and the reason they're in their current situation, to help work with the heart issues, the sin struggles, to help them continue on their own instead of regularly needing help. That's the gist of it, maybe put a little too starkly. I just wanted to give a little bit of chance. I don't know if you've thought more about it through the week. Somebody asked me last week, I thought it was helpful. Is there a model in the OPC that's working that you can adopt that you don't have to reinvent the wheel? And there is. There's a church down in Matthews, I think it's South Carolina, that's they run their diaconate very well. They really seek to help people by not giving too much, not giving too quickly, but walking with them. The OPC as a whole has had that church and a few of its members teach at deacon conferences so that other deacons can sort of benefit from that. So it's not so much that we don't know what we ought to do. Part of it's what is it going to look like, but it's more beginning to do it. So that was one question that came up last week. Any other comments or questions or thoughts? Part of this I'm gleaning, you know, we're sort of, if we're turning over a new leaf or not, but we're seeking to help the deacons and strengthen them and encourage them. Please do be praying for them. But part of this is learning too, that the deacons have wrestled with these kinds of questions for a long time. So, yeah, Alex. Didn't spend much time on the counseling part? Okay. Yeah. And so if I understand the question correctly, last time we spent a lot of time on counseling, but aren't there needs in the congregation that don't necessarily need counsel? They might say just need help. And I think those situations come up. I think they're probably more rare than we think, but sometimes disaster strikes. We're completely apart from your plans, your best, you know, maybe you had a little reserve built up and circumstances, hard providences kind of blew through that, or you lose your job and you can't find something else. There are situations like that. And I think that's a question mark for me yet of, in those situations, what happens? Because we don't want to say we can't do anything. I think something that Ed alluded to, and you can feel free to correct me, I'm just picking up a little bit on last week, is that we'd like to see that not just be the deacons, but sort of be a broader help thing, where people who are close to the individual or family who knows them some can walk closer with them, perhaps a little bit more through growth groups. So it's not just a three-man or however many deacons with them, but try to make it a little bit broader. I think that has its own tricks to it, though, or trickiness to it, because I'm much too fast to give away, and it's not always wise. So there probably has to be something working in concert with the deacons. Give me one second. I just want to see if, do you want to say anything to that, Ed? Sorry, I'm missing bits here. What was that, Alex? Okay. Yeah, so example of the aged, the widows. One of the things that I'm very pleased about is that the helping hands thing, where there's kind of it's the beginning of an ongoing care for those who just can't do everything they once could or don't have the means to do it anymore. I think that's, I'd really like to see, and I think as a congregation we could really shine in those things. Yeah, Ron?
I was just going to help Alex explain, but I think I understood where he was going.
Okay.
You know, someone like an older person who needs help around the house, and maybe that doesn't have enough money in the bank to pay a bunch of contractors. Yeah. What I think he's referring to. Is it wrong to get rid of a cash account that you can pull from? Because we're going to need that. We're banking on growth groups helping at that point, which may work and may not work.
Yeah. So it's a question somewhat in terms of, the deacons have a fund of, I think it's $35,000 or so. The wisdom of getting rid of that, is that part of the question? No. Okay. Okay. Yeah, Todd. Right. So, yeah, Ed?
I think that one of the things that can get lost is that we have this thing we call money. We all write a check. We put it into a blind account, and then you write a check to somebody in need. We totally disconnect the aspect of supporting each other.
Right.
And I think that's somewhere near the bottom of this, that it's not a matter of do we help somebody or we don't.
So just making a couple notes, I think that's helpful. Yes, Todd, to your point, I think the deacons are being champions, but also overseers as needs come up. I think they're very happy to and want to grow in delegation of, could you group take care of this? And I don't want to say adopt them necessarily, but make sure that this need is regularly met. I think that's an appropriate role for the deacons. And I think you're underlining again, Ed, the community aspect. So maybe just picking up a little bit on your comment, Ron, let's say we get rid of the deacons fund completely and we have zero in the deacons line. I think in some way that's an advantage, and this is why. If a need comes up, let's say for some reason our insurance policy doesn't cover trees falling on our house, and all the big trees fall on our house, we're gone. And there's a $50,000 thing we've got to deal with. We can handle some of that, but maybe there's immediate costs we can't. I think that's a great opportunity for the church as a whole to know something of it. And this is what a lot of churches do after their Lord's Supper offering. They have a benevolent offering. They say, hey, we've got some needs in the congregation. We can't tell you all the details, but one is, Pastor Francis' house trashed by trees. They need help getting the trees off or something like that. Where I think what that does is it engages the congregation more in knowing the mercy ministry, giving us a chance actually to move toward it and love each other tangibly. That's, I think, a little more powerful in a way than the secrecy of, it all goes into a fund. Nobody knows where it comes from, where it's gone to. There's wisdom involved in that, but I think that's a good direction. Ron.
Real quick, I think it's better, too, because the deacons would have to know the gifts of the congregation.
Mm-hmm. Right. No. It will be. Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good question. It's often reality. Yep. Ed's got the answer.
I prefer to fail at something that I believe is the right approach than fail at something where I feel not working.
And I think added to that is if there's a specific need and you approach a specific person to help, they're much more likely to say yes than if we just put a generic so-and-so, here's a situation that needs help. So I think that's knowing the gifts and trying to connect specific groups or individuals, that's just a stronger way to go. I think you're right. As the church grows, we just assume somebody else has more time and somebody else will do it. We need to work hard against that. I think one of the ways to do it is that individual, which takes more work for somebody to call up and do that. Jason. Yeah, Jacob.
Yeah, I would like to know more about what interaction between the deacon and the church looks like.
Mm-hmm.
We know that their needs within the congregation, that's for sure. And sometimes the church goes to the deacon and tells the deacon what I need it.
Yeah. So communication between the deacons and the church or the church to the deacons, how do they know needs and make known those needs? Oops, but deeds. Well, that's good too. Needs, deeds. Yeah. Brian, related, I'm assuming? Oh, you're not going to answer it? Oh, okay. Very good. So, and again, help me out here. You're right, Jacob, in terms of sometimes people come to the deacons. A lot of times people come or needs get told to the deacons through somebody else. They find out through a third party. So I'm not sure if your question is, how do the deacons communicate needs to the rest of the church? Okay. Yeah, that's a good comment in terms of the deacons. We talked about this at one of the meetings with the deacons. Somebody came up with an idea of what they called a pew visit. It's like, what's a pew visit? We don't have pews here. A chair visit, but just where the deacons might sit beside someone at church and just after the service say, "Hey, how are things going? How are you doing?" And such and such. That's from the deacons toward the congregation. That's one idea of how we could maybe simply increase that, just interacting and seeing how things are going. Let me see if Ed wants to speak to that first.
I was thinking just that a lot of what we're talking about is being the deacon being the champion of stewardship.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to do that, it has to be, you know, way, way proactive, not reactive. You can't be a champion, you can't be championing stewardship on a reactive basis.
Right. Right, so needing to be proactive, and there are probably a lot of ways that we can do that. That's the pew visit's one way. I think having the deacon come up before an offering and saying, we need, you know, think about this. Next week we're having an offering because there's a specific need, or maybe there's an ongoing need. Would you consider that and give to it? That's another just way to be proactive and keep that communication open. I'd love more ideas on that. It, related to that particular question, yeah. We'll get to three questions. I'll come back to you, Brian. I know you had a hand up a while ago, and Marshall, I'll come back to you as well. So how does it change what you look for in a deacon? In some ways, it doesn't. The biblical qualifications are filled with the Spirit and then more character qualities. I think what it does change is in sort of diaconal training, what you can expect to be doing and what you're going to be taught and trained in, that will help you think through, is this something that fits with my gifting or can I grow in it? I think that's probably where the change will shift significantly. I think you're right. It's more than just guys who can get their hands dirty, like fixing things. It's going to be more coordinating, overseeing, publicizing, and asking hard questions to help people think. Brian.
And we'll,
yeah, so there's probably about 20 things we could comment on there. So I'm trying to capture some of what you said. But there are different skill sets in the diaconate. If their main thing is to champion mercy, you can do that a bunch of different ways. It could be teaching. It could be walking through messy situations with people. It can be overseeing other tasks. There is a place, I think, in the diaconate for the hands-on as well. So formally, yes, the deacons are overseeing the helping hands ministry and other sort of service projects. And that could be blown further open. I hope one day the Lord gives us 8 deacons or 10 deacons, because there's so much you can do in this, where some are maybe really skilled at walking through people through the heart issues of difficult stuff. Others are much more hands-on. Others are more overseeing and connecting people's gifts with. You could pray toward that end. You know, I might have wonderful dreams, but we and God has to, through us, bring those things to fruition. And we're really I'd say ground zero. We're really just beginning again. Ed, do you want to comment at all on those things? And I wrestle some, too, with it seems, just thinking through this, it seems so much more closer to a shepherd than to what I often have envisioned as a deacon. And I think part of that is just the complication of living in a first-world country where wealth is abundant and there's much more need for development than for disaster relief. And that I think that shifts somewhat the focus of the deacons. Marcia and then Dan. Or did you have something related to that, Dan? Okay. That's fine. You're sitting higher up. You can go first. Yeah, good. So in terms of eliminating that fund, you could really, if people have a windfall, maybe they get a bonus or something, and they have to use it or do something with it before the end of the year, it'll likely go somewhere else. That's probably the state of things at the moment because we can't give to that fund directly. It's sort of a hidden fund where it used to be in the budget that the budget would just be delegated to it. I think part of the motive for getting rid of it is to sort of shake us up in the way we think about the diaconate. We perceive them and they perceive their task. And it's probably going to be a limited time. I could see at some point, maybe a year or two, once that's been shaken up, we've got a different road or direction where we maybe change it a little bit, not put it in the general fund, but regularly once a month give to the diaconal fund or something. We got a I wrote that point down. I think that's helpful just to keep in mind, too, a venue for us to give toward diagonal stuff. Marcia, you've been waiting a long time. Do you remember your question?
I remember.
Oh, very good. I'm sure it's not relevant, but I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah. I think it's very relevant. I knew it was going to be great. So, but just the comment of the Bible charges us to go to the elders who are sick and ask for prayer. The elders aren't supposed to have to sniff that out. I think it's similar with the diaconal needs of we're supposed to tell each other what our needs are. I see it, Kath. So I think that's a helpful point, and it really charges us to humble ourselves before each other. We all need help. We just don't usually think we do. And we try to run life on our own, and it doesn't go so well sometimes because we're not willing to ask for prayer. We're not willing to ask for wisdom. I think that's helpful. I saw a few hands. I want to go to Kath and Bob and Lance and then Jason. So I don't think we're going to get to emotions. I hope you're not feeling too emotional. Go ahead, Kath.
If you go online any fall or spring, you'll find 50 churches in the area doing it. Mm-hmm. But I do think it is, like, that's a preventative, that's a training. So Michael and I, and also Joe and Emily have taken it, but we went to a church where the church encouraged the whole church to take it. Mm-hmm. And then, so you watch an engaging video, and then you break out in groups that are your age. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard very good things about financial peace. It's fairly well known. I think it's rooted in the scripture. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what our church's position is on doing one of those. Because it's one thing to go to another church and you meet those people. Mm-hmm. It's another thing for our church to be ministering
right.
to each other in that area.
Yeah, that could open up more doors, too, of just awareness of various needs. And I don't think the church has a position on it. I think the deacons have talked about doing that. I thought Dave Tucker was thinking about doing it. But resources have been limited in terms of just the time to do that. I don't think we'd be opposed to that at all. So let me, Bob, were you, you had something? Yep.
I thought I heard you say a few minutes ago that we can't contribute to the deacon fund. If I were a church, I would put a check in the offering, I could mark down on it for the deacon fund.
Hmm.
And a follow-up question, if that's the case, where does this money come from?
Yeah, so I guess it's probably not exactly true. What I did say that, so you're right. It's probably not exactly true, because if you put in the line memo line, diaconal fund, I'm pretty sure it will end up in that particular fund. I think my intention was more, we don't ask the congregation to give to it. It's funded more automatically through the annual budget. So the elders would assign a particular number to go into the diaconal fund. So it wasn't as in your face, we need this. It was more kind of a $5,000 is just budgeted to go in the diaconal fund.
It's got to be very specific
about that. Yep.
The deacons have their own PNC bank account. And when somebody gives to the deacon's fund, it goes to that account. It's not part of our QuickBooks ledger. It's a separate ledger, which when our financials are audited, that ledger is audited, but it's not transparent to the church treasurer. You can't allocate money to the deacon's fund, this other account over there. So I don't know that I can say that I like the system, but that's what we're doing.
I guess the question would lend itself to why are we doing it that way? Mm-hmm. It would seem to be
a long time ago. Here's
going to solve some of your problems by just including it in the normal budget
right.
of the church.
Right.
I think you're there.
Yep. Bill, did you want to speak to that?
Yeah,
okay.
So, like, maybe about a
feel like we can know about stuff or whatever, because everybody's already talked about that. Mm-hmm.
Bottom line. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lance, you still have something you wanted to add?
Yeah. My comment is just an observation. So, where you want to go with the conversation today, but now that I've been here for 2 years, a member for 1 year, other than like the new membership class, and other than from today, I still wasn't sure what the deacon's roles were. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really transparent to me. So, mm-hmm. I see the elders come up and they're very visible, but I felt like the deacons weren't really visible other than. Mm-hmm.
Right.
In the paper. So I don't know, from the conversation today, hey, should they be more counselors? Are we good to them? I don't know if you want the deacons every so often come up front and say, hey, we're here, mm-hmm. if you need us. Or
right, right.
So just haven't seen like a visibility, but I don't know if that's on purpose or.
Yeah, it was probably reflective of where they were. Although they have been busy with a bunch of different things over the, well, the last 5 years I've been here. And part of it's a question of how do you do that? No, I'm not seeing the signal over there in terms of saying more. But I can see that of presenting needs from time to time, or if there's a benevolent offering, that puts them in front of the congregation a little bit more often. You know, teaching in class, they did a mini-mester a couple years ago. That was a helpful venue where we can hear from them, how should we be helping? Jason, you were going to say something before. Yeah. Rex? No? Processing?
Tornado thing going on.
Should we open that tornado over there or? Lance. Yeah. Lance, meet Rex.
We live in a first world culture, which you pointed out. I think sticking point in learning what the state offers and what the state's responsibility is supposed to be, that we don't have any control over, and what the church's true responsibility is to be and who it's to be toward.
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't know what to do with the tornado in there, but I think that's in some way that's kind of where we are. We need to come back. What is a diaconate? How does that work in today's in at New Hope with the people who are here, and. Yeah, I think that's her. That's in some way why the discussion is. We're trying to chew through all these things. Carrie.
Yeah, I did a lot of things that Rex said. Appreciate Cass Candor. I think that speaking about your experience with our deacons is only good for the general knowledge and also for the introspective look at that office and how do we improve it. It's good for the pastor and the elders to hear that. I think, I didn't grow up in a Presbyterian church, and so to speak to Rex's point of, what is a deacon, what does that really look like? I highly recommend that you go and download the OPC's Book of Church Order.
Mm-hmm.
That will give you a general idea of how the OPC defines a deacon and the references there for Scripture. There's numerous other books.
Well, I think last week we spent the first half kind of trying to deal with that, and on the back of the handout, it might be worth reviewing. I sort of had the form of government, the OPC sort of, this is how we view the diaconate, and it's more than just, it certainly is distributing funds, but it's more than that. It's really compassion. They have in there caring for the needy or for the lonely. That's included in the role of the diaconate. So basically, in some ways, all the needs of someone who is needy, fill a need. It could be financial, could be just lonely needs, could be community longing for being plugged in. But I think that's, I'll come back to Ron. Those are helpful questions of, okay, so take that, but what does it look like here? And how are we actually going to do it? There's a lot of work to try to answer those questions. So keep those comments coming. And I'd love a list of 20 questions of, here's something you'd have to define that would help. Here's some, but that's just how I work. Ron.
It might be worth distinguishing between some clarity about who a deacon is and also transparency. I heard that word mentioned. I think in a healthy church, an ideal healthy church, you wouldn't know who the deacons, how they were operating. Things would just be getting taken care of, and people would be together, working together towards that. So I don't know if, wanting to know every detail about what's happening with deacons is really a goal. Also, too, speaking to the idea of donating, would it be fair to say that if you didn't have a specific fund for that, but just gave your money to the general well-being of the church to boost the growth of the church so that the ministries of the church could take care of those things?
Mm-hmm.
You still, need a world vision or whatever. You can still give. It's not like it's not coming out with the things that the church is purposely to do still. So, you can still donate your gift for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. I think that comment was probably more in terms of if you have a desire to give a specific amount to diaconal type aid and the church had no vehicle for that, you'd probably go elsewhere. Anything else? I can't believe we're out of questions. This has been good. Now, you might say, well, where to from here? Well, that's kind of our question. That's why the deacons and elders have been meeting together to try to say, okay, where to from here? And we don't know exactly where to from here. We have some ideas of what needs to happen, how to make it happen, who's to make it happen. Those are questions that are still somewhat in the air. The deacons are wrestling with, like Ed said, if the deacon's rules, not so much, hey, you need a faucet replaced, I'll come and do it. If it's less that and more walking through the spiritual issues underneath of, here I am again and I can't pay my rent, it's the fifth time in 20 years or 10 years or 5 years or 3 months, that's a different role. So part of that is, yes, we need to define what is the role of the diaconate. And I guess that's kind of where we are. So pray for that. We're hoping that we can add some strength to the deacons because we want them to be able to work through this. The elders can do it for them, but I think it's better for the deacons to do it with the elders overseeing. And I think they need more men to be able to do that. And I don't want to have, let's say, Ed and Craig and Jeff come up with here's what it should be, and then five new guys join a half year later and they go, that's not what we think. So I don't know if that was fair, but anything else? I feel like, well, this is just the state of things. I feel a little bit like this is big, hairy, messy. That's just where it is. And I like to wrap things up in a bow and have it all presented, but that's just not where we are right now. So pray for our skill and wisdom, and please communicate with the deacons, with the elders about this. Jacob. But you'd like to see it more and be made known more. Mm-hmm. As far as books go, Strauch, Strauch, he's got two books on the diaconate. One's a bigger book, sort of the biblical roots and background of the diaconate. There's a smaller one more on how to. Tim Keller has When Helping, no, not When Helping Hurts. I can't remember that guy. Fickert, When Helping Hurts. That's a helpful book in terms of reading more about the diaconate. Ministries of Mercy, Tim Keller. Those are probably the three or four top books that I know of on the diaconate. There's another one by De Koster, an old Dutch guy, so you know it's got to be good. Just kidding. I can't remember what it's called, though. It's something like, well, put De Koster and Deacon, and you'll come up with the book. Ron, you got 1 minute, and then we're going to take a break. You're welcome. See, I am somewhat flexible. All right, let's pray a minute, and then we'll take a break. Father, thank you that we could have this discussion. It's kind of reflective of our lives in some ways. We're messy people, and you knew that, and you sent your glorious Son to come into the mess and to transform us into your image. And Holy Spirit, would you do that in us individually more and more, that we would shine like the stars in this dark world, that we would be people known for our zeal for you and your glory, that we, I think they said of Bunyan, would bleed Bibline, that we would so know your word that if we were poked, we would bleed it. And Father, that we would live skillfully, that we'd love one another deeply and richly. We pray for our deacons and we pray for our diaconate. We ask you that you would give them a discernment and skill as they think through their task here, and whether that's what you're still calling them to or something else, help them with that, Lord. Would you take their history here, their experience here, and their wisdom, and use that to help shape, define, and start afresh? If there are others you'd have join them, would you press that on their hearts? Father, we'd love to see the day, even soon, when we have a well-functioning diaconate which is really pressing the needs and the outlook of compassion into the whole congregation. So we as a whole have grown in that. We ask these things because that's part of a healthy church, and it honors you. Hear us then in Jesus' name. Amen.